What is up, KPCRadio.com listeners? My name is Salvador Farias, and you are listening to Brahma Beginnings, the show where we get to meet people who started their journeys at Pierce College and are now doing what they love. Today, we are lucky to have two former Pierce College students with us. They have spent years studying Belizean mythology, art, and culture, and are successful self-published authors and filmmakers. We have Dismas and Grissy G with us today. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting us, and we want to thank our guests who are listening. You know, we appreciate the support.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thank you for being here. I'm already, like, so engulfed into all this stuff that we've been talking about, so I'm excited to share it with our listeners. So when did you guys come to Pierce? Let's start off at Pierce.
It was around 2008, and we did two semesters. We did business law, we did sales management, and broadcasting.
Oh, okay. Yes. And what brought you guys here? You guys just live in the area, or did you guys hear about this?
We lived in the area.
You know, actually, we had taken dancing class here, Grissy and I.
One time too.
So we got familiar with the campus, and it looked really nice. Yeah. So we're like, hey, we can take some more classes here to, you know, continue to develop our business.
For our listeners, what kind of dance class was it?
It was everything,
right? Tango, salsa, everything. Yes.
A big intro class. That's awesome. And you guys also went to Mission College.
Yes,
that's correct.
Yes.
Awesome. So that kind of leads us in. Well, how did you two meet?
We met at Los Angeles Mission College. We were taking some art and multimedia classes. And during art history, I met Gris, pretty girl. I walked her to her car. and then later on, another semester, we took another
Photoshop class. Right? We're taking Photoshop. And I was in the hall, and I was talking to a friend, and I was telling her I'm from Belize. And his head shot up, and he's like, you're from Belize? And I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I haven't met too much Belizeans, you know, just, you know, family, but I'm more a solo person.
Right.
So it's another Belizean and a pretty one, too. But
yeah. You guys just clicked from there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what is it that you guys do exactly? You guys dive into Belizean culture. And you guys put it in a really fun and easy way for people to also enjoy this culture and learn about it. Where did that fascination come from?
From kids.
Yes.
We have been told these stories from when we were kids. Our grandpa used to tell me stories, and my cousins, every weekend we'd visit. And they really believe in it. They had encounters, and they would tell you, they'd describe it. And, you know, being kids, you'd be curious, like, what do you mean? Where exactly? You know, what did you see? So when I met him, we were in painting class, and the series they were encouraging us to do was one on mythology. We were doing it with Barbara Kerwin, and I told him, you know what, no artist like has ever really painted the legends before, and it's a big part of our culture, and a lot of the kids now are into technology, and they don't really sit down and listen to the grandparents like we used to.
Yes.
So we decided, you know what, it'd be a good way to kind of incorporate what we're learning. We're doing multimedia, so it was a good way to capture our ideas and put it in a format that people could learn about our culture. So
yes.
Our mission became basically to kind of share the culture with anyone.
Yeah, document and preserve the Belizean mythology.
Okay, and that's where the spark happened in that class where you guys were like, oh, this is what we need to use our art for. What was your first thing to do to set that in motion? How did you guys start this huge, looks like just a bunch of projects you guys are working on?
Yes. Well, we started off with the painting. Grissy G, she's I would say, the main force behind it. She was like, we need to document our culture because when we talk to people, a lot of people are forgetting it. Because of the internet, you know, they're going into different cultures and stuff. And that mix is slowly diluting a lot of the ancient cultures that we grew up with. And she said for us to document the Tatuduende and Ishtabai. But we decided to do it, like, huge. We went all in, like, 6x4-foot tapestry paintings, 2x4-foot
sculptural
paintings.
Yeah, we were going to do it to the best that we could do it. And I think it helps the culture, too, because a lot of people had forgotten about them. And when we brought it up, they're like, oh, yeah, now I remember my grandma would tell me this story. And they start telling us different characters we've never heard before. And it just got into a great conversation topic to bring up with people, anyone we met, you know. And doing the research, we actually found out that it's not only Belize, it's these different myths connect with every culture. Every culture has some kind of boogeyman, or, you know, a little gnome, or the leprechaun is an example. Fairies, you know. So it's just a very interesting topic, and we can't put it down.
And you guys mentioned Tata Duende, and you guys mentioned a few other creatures. I was wondering if you could explain who Tata Duende is.
Yes. Well, Tata Duende is a mythical gnome from Belize, or some people may believe, so it may not be myth. But they believe there's this little guy with backwards feet and no thumbs, and he protects the forests and the animals and actually kids.
And Maya ruins.
And Maya ruins, yes. And they say he has magical powers, and you could do stuff like make offerings to him, and he will make your farm flourish or protect it from poachers and stuff like that. So he's very integrated into the Belizean culture.
Very much, yes. And that's the one my grandpa would tell us stories about. He said one Christmas, this little man showed up at their house. And at the time, all the boys and the kids in the house were making so much noise. So they always say that, you know, if your kids don't make too much noise, or you'll attract this little dude. And he said it was Christmas Eve, and my grandma had made tamales. So she would do the big ones and put it on top. And he said he didn't know that, but he saw the little man, and the little man didn't talk. He just kind of nodded and, you know, looked at him. He said it was very small, and he looked like he just walked out of the bushes, and it was a cold, cold, cold morning, but he just was wearing like a shorts. And he gave him the tamales, and he said he went in to get a fork because he had forgotten it. And by the time he came out, nothing was there. The little man was gone. So it was a story that kept repeating in our family and brought up this like interest, you know?
Yes. And when I was younger, we'd have friends always talk about, oh, this little guy, you have to be careful when you go by this school at night, because he'll grab you and take you into the jungle and disappear you forever. Or break your thumbs. That's another popular one. They say because he has no thumbs, he gets jealous that you don't have thumbs. So we would practice, like our grandmother would tell us to take the bucket of water upstairs. So we'd practice holding it like with just our fingers and stuff like that. Because they say it's like you show your hands up, and if he sees your thumbs, he'll want to break it. So you have to practice putting your thumbs up, your four fingers up, hands towards him, but keep your thumbs hidden behind your hand. So then he'll ask you to turn your hand around. You got to do some weird little flip action to show, and don't show your thumbs or he'll break it off. So that was something we all grew up in. Scary, funny, but...
Yeah, that's so interesting. So I know, like, in Mexican culture, because I'm Mexican, we have a lot of those kind of folklore stories. And a lot of times I've noticed they're mostly used, I mean, a lot of people do believe in them, but they're used also to kind of, like, scare kids, and they're kind of, is that what this is in Belizean culture
as
well?
Definitely.
Yes. We believe that they are the moral aspect part of this stories, where it is to protect kids from going into the jungle, because not only maybe a little man will take you, but, you know, there's dangerous animals, you know.
Wild jaguars.
Snakes and poisonous spiders and stuff like that. And all these stories, to us, we've found that they have some kind of little moral thing. Like, I'll bring in the Ishtabai. She's a female seductress that shapeshifts into different people. And they say that she'll be by the roadside. She'll look like maybe your girlfriend or someone you're interested in, and they'll seduce you to go in the jungle and then take you away. But they say it's like to protect men from getting drunk and, you know, not just go with any woman they see.
Right.
Yeah, you know. And some people are saying that maybe the wives made up that story for their men, you know, like, don't go following another man.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And all those, actually, you guys can find them in this book that they have written and illustrated. It's called Legends of Belize Creature Book. So what started this project?
Well, when we started doing the paintings, started the whole process of the paintings, it started to garner media attention. We got the Daily News came over, one of the writers came over and took pictures and put us on the Daily News years ago. And then after that, it kind of like built up momentum, and we started to realize that there is that like vacuum where everything is so modernizing so quickly, and the kids are like in their Nintendo and Batman, and which is good, you know, but the original Belizean culture stuff is slowly like diluting or disappearing. So we gave a presentation in Corozal Town, where we were born, to the students of St. Francis Xavier School, and the kind of attention that we got from the kids was so overwhelming, overwhelmingly positive, that we just saw it, that it's something that we need to do. So we just went full on and we came up with the 14 different ones. We did research, and like Grissy G was saying, we found a lot of these interconnect with different cultures. Like the Sisimito is a Belizean Bigfoot, and then there's like the Llorona, which is also the Banshee from Europe, and different cultures have, you know, so they all intertwine, and it just sucked us in. You know, it was so fascinating and amazing. And the cool part about it is, by doing these investigations and stories, we found that some people really believe in them.
Yeah.
And
Well, these are the people that have actually seen something or experienced something, and they are very adamant that this is true, that yes, you know, people say it's myth, but it's not, you know. And it's just like I guess, like you say, a cultural thing, but also a belief thing, you know, like, what do you believe, you know? And it's a lot of it had to do with nature too, you know, respecting nature, respecting spirits in that sense, you know, respecting others. So all that kind of messages we like, because that's something good to teach. And we have a young daughter too, and we want her to grow up with good values. So the project just kind of took its own life, you know. It's kind of been a project that has guided us more than we know what exactly we're going to go at, you know. And like we said, we started with paintings, and then the paintings got so much attention, and people were like, you guys got to put this in a book. So we did the book, and people want to see more, and we're like, you know what, we're animators, let's start doing an animation series. So that's what we're working on. But of course, animation is a lot more intense, so it's going to take a few years. But it's all exciting.
And I want to talk about the animation in a second, but I just flipped open this book and I saw the Llorona, and which is interesting because that's also part of Mexican folklore as well.
Right.
And it's just what you guys were talking about. Like, people grow up their whole lives like in Belize, and they've never seen these creatures depicted before in illustrations. Mm-hmm. I've gone my whole life hearing about Llorona. I've never seen like an actual painting about it. So that's just so cool to make people get those connections. And
it's just
really interesting. So you tapped on the animation aspect. So what is it that you guys are working on right now?
A lot of projects, but one of the projects with the Legends of Belize is the Tata Duende animation, and that'll be our first feature animation. So it'll be 35 to 40 minutes, I believe.
45 minutes.
Yes, Chris is the one with the numbers. So. Yeah.
I'll break it apart. Okay, we got 3 minutes for this, and 2 seconds for this.
And basically, it's an animation about the Tata Duende and an encounter two kids have with him. And I don't want to give away too much.
Right, of course.
You know. If you follow us on Instagram, Gris Dismation, on Instagram, on Facebook, Google+, we're constantly YouTube. We're constantly putting out material, behind-the-scenes stuff to you know, keep people updated on the progress of it.
Awesome. How big is social media in you guys' work?
That's a major part.
We meet a lot
of
people that way.
Yes, I believe a lot of that too spawned from going to Los Angeles Mission College. They actually offered one of the first art and
multimedia degrees.
Associate degree, yes, and because of that, we learned a lot of the background stuff that basically is propelling our company. And we see it that a lot of things right now is social media, promoting via social. People don't know you exist if you're not on social media.
Exactly.
Almost, you know? I mean, there are the exceptions, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Social media is the way right now.
Yes, it is.
You also have this documentary of Tata Duende, and it just goes into a lot more depth, just like the other book that you guys have for the creatures. And if people wanted to get these materials, how would they get a hold of them?
The documentary, it was a company from Canada that basically picked us up, found our material online, social media online, and they do documentaries on different mythical creatures from all over the world. And basically we joined up with them to produce this piece, and
It was in Belize. They did it in Belize. We met for 3 days, and it was hardcore going from one spot to the next, interviewing people, you know, finding out what people think about it. We actually met with a Mayan priestess, and she gave us a blessing and a altar and understanding of how you must treat and respect these spirits. She says Tata Duende is not necessarily one guy, but it's like a nature spirit. Yeah. It's like all of nature. And basically, she and the Mayans believe that they're little brothers and that you should respect them. And you must always ask permission when you go into a forest, you know, just respect the forest. She explained it as the forest is their home. So when you go to somebody's home, you're not going to go throw trash in their home or go disrespect them. So you must also go with that mind as you go into the forest. You know? So it's very educational, that whole documentary. Yes. and the way it was put together. And we spoke with many people that have a really nice understanding of the importance of the myth in the culture. So yes. It was very interesting.
And that documentary is part of the Boogeyman series, and it's called Tata Duende. And I believe it's still airing worldwide, but it will be available on Amazon. I already put a notice so that I'll get reminded when it comes on. And the Legends of Belize book are also on Amazon, Create Space, Barnes & Noble's online. Basically,
it's in e-books also.
Yes. An ebook format. Legends of Belize. Go to legendsofbelize.com. That's our website where we have these on there promoted on there.
Awesome. And in order to do all these different projects, you guys wear so many different hats. You're animators, you're writers, you're researchers. You're everything.
Yes.
What would you say is like your favorite part about all this? What gives you the most joy in working on these projects?
Painting for me,
yeah,
painting
for both.
Yes, animating. I love animating. There's some kind of like enjoying of the torture of just being there for hours making your drawings move. I love it so much.
Yes.
But painting, there's something more liberating. There's, you know, not so much structure, you know, for us.
Yeah. I think it allows you to flow creatively. That's why it's mostly enjoyable. But it's. I kind of believe the idea, coming up with the idea and getting exciting, like, oh, this is a great idea. We got to do something with this. How can we make it, and working that idea. And the best part, I think, is at the ending, too, when we finally see it come together and it's like, whoa, okay, we got it done. We did it. You know, we stuck through it. And, you know, there's many challenges in producing anything. And animation is one, especially, where you're like... You think you got something and you start putting it together, and it's like, oh, that doesn't look right. I gotta figure how to do that better. And, you know, so it's a lot of problem
sometimes,
solving.
Yeah, sometimes, like when you write the script, it'll say describe a certain scene, and when you draw it out, you know, maybe the overlapping or something may not jive. So you kind of have to. So there's like, it's constantly evolving. And same thing with the paintings. But yeah.
Awesome. Do you guys have any. People that you look up to, either like animators or like inspiration artists, painters, that you really draw a lot of inspiration from?
Yes. Well, I'll say definitely. I like Bill Plimpton. I think he's amazing. He's one of independent animator, and his 2D frame by frame animation is amazing.
Very detailed.
Yes. Definitely Monet and Salvador Dali, you know, the classic artists. And I also like a lot Todd McFarlane. I love his comic book art and his details. And also the crew that he hires to do some of his art, too. I think like Greg Capullo, I like Sam Keith. You know, a lot of like comic book influence, too, yeah. Definitely.
I'm Van Gogh. He was a big influence. I saw his show, and I love the texture of his paints on it, so that inspired a lot of my work. And I like Michael Parks, his artist today. He does a lot of how would you call it, very stone looking creatures and
surreal,
very surrealism, kind of almost like a Dali, but this
with,
age,
yeah, with like Cirque du Soleil kind of character.
Yeah,
real interesting.
He's pretty good. And
inspiring
was the last
for
one?
Sure.
Yoshitaka Amano, he's a Japanese artist, I believe, and he's done a lot of comic books. So
with ink, more like
watercolors,
ink washes, beautiful stuff.
Okay, and so you guys just you guys really know about art, and you guys really appreciate it. And that's what you can tell. And when all these picture books and all these, you guys actually have trading cards when you guys go out. Like, that's just so awesome.
Yes, we give presentations to universities and schools, and part of that is. Our students that come in and get the chance to get a collector's card of a myth whichever miss they get.
They're exclusive. So only if, like, through meeting us or being at a presentation. You can purchase them, but, you know, just...
You guys got to get out there and find...
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. And what is some advice that you'd give to maybe someone who wants to be a filmmaker? I know that's a really daunting, kind of intimidating profession. What kind of advice would you give them to get to where they want to be?
Keep producing. Just don't stop. Even if someone tells you you're wasting your time, don't listen. You have to
follow your dream.
Follow your dream.
That's the that's the cliche version, but it's true. No matter how hard things may come, just focus and put it all aside and just work. Yeah, put yourself out there. Produce. Just produce stuff.
Yes.
Even if you think it may not be good, you know, there's stuff out there that's not good that's out there. So just do your stuff. You know, put as much energy as you can and love what you do.
Yeah. Perfect. Because it shows. Yes.
Oh, definitely. And I know we have a few more minutes, and I really wanted to touch on this story. We kind of began talking about it earlier. I wanted to save it for the show. You had a really interesting story about how you guys' families kind of intertwined before you met.
Well, yeah. When we met, like we said, you know, he didn't believe I was from Belize. So first he tested me. He's like, if you're really Belizean, you know how we say lizard in Belize. And I was like, yeah, we call it a tulok. And he's like, yeah, okay, you're really Belizean. So then...
only a Belizean would know what the hell talk, you know? So, oh, all right. So we've kind of basically hit it off from then. We did an animation project together.
Yeah.
And we basically started our company before we got married, too.
Yeah.
So in 2003, we registered the company. So that was our marriage, to say.
And, yeah. But the story was that... when we met and our families met, we found out that his uncle delivered me as a baby.
He's a doctor in Belize.
Yeah.
So, you know, Belize is kind of a small country, so...
We're both born in Corozal town, which is the most northern town, or what would you say, the district? We don't say states, it's seven districts, and north is Belize. And we just found out that family was very... connected, and my grandma told me that his grandpa had liked her when she was young. You know, so it was just.
But I didn't know her then.
You right.
Know, we met out here completely. Yeah. You know.
That's so crazy. Such a small world.
Yeah.
Awesome. And is there anything else you guys wanted to share? Any last promotions that you guys wanted to give our viewers?
We're working on a new Onghur animation for Christmas, and Onghur is basically a modern day clown who finds a way of getting into different kind of trouble. And we have this series happening since, I believe, 2006. And every year we produce a short animation. And this year is going to be on her party invite.
Yes.
So it's a
and
short.
You can find it on our YouTube, Gris Dismation on YouTube. And we're also on Facebook, same thing, Gris, G-R-I-S-D-I-S, Dismation, M-A-T-I-O-N, like animation.
Yeah.
And legendsofbelize.com is our website, and you can purchase the books from there or contact us if you need any art or animation services, because we also do storyboards for indie filmmakers. And, and that, too, we've also acted in a short film for producer Don Westlake, and she's another one of our friends, client friends. And,
yes.
Yes. So and
the whole family acted. You... Me, my daughter, and our little dog.
Yes.
And it's actually up for award right now in UK. So it's all over happening. It's viewing at different
festivals.
Going to
Festival
right
Lions
now.
Right now. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the show is called Scrappy. So if you look it up on YouTube, you could see the trailer.
Yes.
Scrappy.
And on our Facebook pages, we have a little promotion that you can vote for it and so that we could get nominated. So we'd appreciate that, too.
Definitely. You guys need to go check it out. And how old is your daughter? I see that she's acting. She's how old is
Six
she?
6 years old.
Yes.
Six
Does she have
old.
A fascination with all this as well?
Oh, yes.
I can imagine.
Yes. We have her color some of the frames for our short animations just to get her involved. And she loves it.
Yes.
Right. That's awesome.
Yes. So she looks for her credit at the end.
To show her friends. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's so awesome. Well, I wanted to thank you guys for coming on. That was a lot of fun, and
yes.
I never knew I was going to learn so much about Belizean culture, and it's really fascinating. And thank you guys for tuning in and listening to today's episode. And please tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for the next episode of Brahma Beginnings. This has been Salvador Farias with KPCRadio.com.